As the word suggests, women who give birth are engaged in a taxing act of bringing forth a new human life. But sometimes that life-giving act can mean death for the mother. In the West nowadays, the number of women who die in childbirth is almost negligible. But in developing nations, especially in Africa, more than 500,000 women die each year due to complications arising from pregnancy and during delivery. Dr. Robert Wally, founder and director of the Catholic healthcare organisation MaterCare, says this huge loss of life is like a jumbo jet of mothers crashing every 4 hours. But unlike a major plane crash, these dramatic statistics rarely get much mention in the industrialised world. He spoke to me about how he is trying to raise awareness of this problem and seek to overcome a chronic lack of political will to boost funding for maternal care in developing nations.
We don't actually know the number of maternal deaths. Extremely difficult to calculate and so on. But my own experience, for example, in Nigeria, was that there were 1,700 per 100,000 live births, the number of deaths, 1,700, whereas in Canada it would be about 1 per 100,000. So the enormity is there. All of us who are in the field see the numbers of maternal deaths, but we quote those as being the figure. Okay, what's happening to that figure is it's not changing.
It's not going down.
No. In fact, in some places it's going up. One or two countries have shown a change, and what it means is that there isn't the same amount of urgency. There is this what we call a conspiracy of silence. There's no political interest in a maternal death. As, for example, AIDS. Every politician in the world has to be involved in AIDS because it's a serious problem. It's a pandemic. It's killing people. So everybody has to be involved. But when, from the Western point of view, there's no interest in maternal deaths because nobody dies in our hospitals. Nobody dies in Canada, in London, in Rome, because we've got all the equipment. We've got all the trained staff. Whereas in Africa, there is neglect. It's neglect all the way down the line. So the woman is left to deliver by herself in a village without anybody.
So, as you said, I mean, childbirth should be this act of giving birth to life, but so often that person who brings forth this new life is actually dying in the process.
Absolutely. And there's nothing more tragic, you know, than dying. And I remember talking to a sister once, and she said, you know, doesn't matter what a woman might have done any time during her life before, whatever she might have done, if she dies giving birth to a new life, she goes straight to God. Because that is something so profound. And for us as Catholics, the whole question of motherhood is absolutely of a profound importance, because we wouldn't be here without it.
And I gather, apart from these deaths, that for every woman who dies, there's approximately 20 more who suffer injuries, infections and disabilities. Tell us something about these injuries.
One of the most terrible, really, is a kind of a living death. It occurs because of injury to the bladder and the rectum. And what happens then is the mother becomes incontinent of urine and faeces. And everybody knows how we kind of think of incontinence, even in our own babies.
So they're ostracised by their communities.
Absolutely, because of obvious reasons, they're offensive to everybody. And in some places, they're actually seen as having been, this is an act of God on them, because they were unfaithful. So it's a huge problem. It's not properly identified, again, because they're hidden away. It's so shameful. But it was a huge problem in the Western world over 150 years ago. New York, they set up a fistula hospital, would you believe? But it took 100 years almost before the next one was set up by two Australians in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, and that runs to this day. It's a superb place. It's the example for everybody. But when you try to say, look, something ought to be done about this problem, when you go to the aid agencies, government agencies, your kind of eyes glaze over. They've never heard of it, so why worry about it?
And how easy is it to treat this problem?
It can be very easy once you know what you're doing. So a simple fistula, there's a rules of how to do the surgery, but basically you could train most doctors to do it. You don't have to be specialists. But then, as we say, with some surgery and obstetrics, it takes you a year to learn how to do a cesarean section, 2 years to know when to do one, and then 3 years when to not to do one. So the same applies here. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to be able to identify it. And there's so few people, experts in this area, that are able to train the next generation. It's a huge problem. WHO says 2 million cases, probably, at least that.
Where are there places in the developing world? You talked about this place in Addis Ababa,
yeah.
But, I mean, presumably they're few and far between. Are there some places where women can get this help?
There are other centres in Africa that are doing this work. But again, they're not large. There's not enough money put into these sort of things. And there's not enough trained personnel. You have to have a separate fistula hospital. Why? Well, because people don't like to have... Hospital people don't like to have these patients in the hospital because they're offensive. And often, you know, we're not just talking about a physical injury. We're talking about the problems this has created above the eyebrows.
For their psyche.
Yeah. They've gone through terrible discrimination. They've been treated so badly that their whole image of themselves is so awful. And so they need a lot of love and rehabilitation, basically.
Now, apart from this fistula problem, what other risks do women in developing countries run, you know, if their labour doesn't go smoothly?
Well, they go into obstructed labour. See, the whole problem is we have the same complications here in Rome. But we have the facilities to do something about it. So if a mother goes into obstructed labour, we identify it. We're trained to do that. And so caesarean section is quickly done. Over there, if you're obstructed labour, when you're in a village on your own, you just die. Agonising. May go on for days and days, but you die. The uterus may rupture in the process and you die. The commonest cause of dying is hemorrhage after the baby's born, postpartum hemorrhage.
Which, of course, was the problem in the Western world.
Absolutely. But can you imagine? I asked even the listeners to imagine what it's like to exsanguinate while you're conscious. It must be extraordinarily terrifying. And these are the things that I'm trying to say. Look, we hear about all of these conferences going on to decide how to do something about maternal mortality. You're not going to solve the problem unless you provide every mother with somebody who cares for, who's a specialist trained or properly trained, the facilities and the hospitals, all of which we have in Rome and take for granted. But over there, there's nothing. So when you go to the funding agencies, the governments, I think they're the problem. The government agencies don't want to put money into essential obstetrics. They talk about it, but then they say, okay, like they did at the United Nations Fund for Population Activities just recently in Addis, they came out and said, well, the best solution to solving maternal mortality is family planning. But then what do you do about those who are pregnant? You can't be a maternal death if you're not pregnant. So, but it sounds good. It sounds wonderful, you know. But at the end of the day, all of those people who are at that conference, all of us sitting here want the best for our wives and sisters and, you know, so on. But Africa wants that too. Developing countries want that too. And I think it's just an international disgrace. If everybody sits down at the UN and they say the same thing over and over, well, I'm very sorry, the fifth millennium development goal, we're not meeting that goal. And the British Medical Journal pointed out that it'll take 275 years at the present rate of progress to get that goal. Well, it shows that everybody is like the Levite, passing on the other side of the road and looking the other way. It's outrageous.
And coming back to this question of obstructed labour, I read that women whose growth has been stunted or maybe have not had enough to eat or who are malnourished are also more liable to get these complications, aren't they?
Sure, malnutrition will affect the growth in the long term of the future mother. So she is not a good, she doesn't reproduce well, deliver well. But then also malnutrition plays a part when she's pregnant. You know, if she's malnourished, her baby's malnourished. And that leads to all sorts of long-term complications for the baby.
Yes, coming to the baby, in fact, of course, if the mother dies, as you say, or is left permanently injured as a result of childbirth, what happens to this child? Who takes care of it?
Absolutely.
Who nurses it?
Who? Nobody. Often there's nobody. If she's died, there's nobody to look after the baby. And it will die. If the mother dies, the baby dies. And then the under-fives will die in that family. And it will die. If the mother dies, the baby dies. And then the under-fives will die in that family.
So it's a whole chain, isn't it?
It is a chain. It's like a domino effect. And we in the church, I think, are pitched in the right place. We understand motherhood. We accept motherhood. It's of value to us. We talk about, it's coming up to Christmas, the Immaculate Conception beforehand. We talk about, you remember that pious devotion to the seven sorrows of Our Lady? Well, I think here's an eighth. She kind of weeps when she sees the neglect, what is happening in the world. And it wouldn't take much. We can spend 1.8, was it, trillion on armaments for all the wars that are going on, then something like 8 trillion bailing out banks, it would cost a few hundred billion to do something about this.
A fraction.
I don't even know what a trillion is, but all I know is what the problem is. And it means that the world, except us and the church, because we have a moral obligation to do something about it. We can't just walk away. The church responded, you know, in a profound way, as the whole world did back in the early 80s when the pandemic for AIDS occurred. I'm just saying, why couldn't we do that now for motherhood? Something like a Marshall Plan, you know, that was there at the end of the Second World War. It was put there to keep out communism and so on. Here we want to produce that because there's a need to look after mothers and to keep out a sort of a culture of death, which is the antithesis of what people like. Women over there love babies. They see that as the future. And they're saying, the only thing we've got here is babies, and you want to take that away from us as well. And it's egregious to say, look, you won't die if we kill your baby.
I know you've just come back from Kenya, where you've been looking at a project that you're funding. Can you tell us a little bit about that and the situation there for mothers who give birth?
I've worked in Nigeria and Ghana and now in Kenya, and this area is the toughest I've worked in. So we've put this, a rural obstetrical program, where we're training traditional birth attendants to refer mothers to the parish clinics. The parish clinics will be able to do normal deliveries because they're trained midwives. So we're overcoming that skill problem, or lack of skill problem.
So you said that the situation is very difficult there because of drought and presumably grinding poverty. So, I mean, what happens now mostly to mothers then who have a problem with their pregnancy or their delivery?
They die. I mean, one of our nurses out there, she said, I had 5 maternal deaths in the village last month. And mothers, unfortunately, women don't have that value.
They don't have the voice.
They don't have the voice.
I was speaking to Dr. Robert Wally, founder and director of the Catholic healthcare organisation, MartyrCare. Woman of God.